Good morning, brethren. We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you are welcome to Sunday School teaching today, 16th day of November 2025. This message is from the Sunday School Department of the Redeemed Christian Church of God, Christ the Lord Parish, Admiralty Way, Lekki, Phase 1, Lagos. This audio recording can also be accessed on the church's website, www.rccgchristthelordparish.com. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for another privilege to learn of you and from you through the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord and our Father, let the benefit of today's lessons be for the edification of your name. Amen. We are studying lesson 11 today in our adult Sunday school manual, and the topic is workplace ministry. Workplace ministry. Let us take our opening prayer together. Father, help me to be a good representative of Christ wherever I find myself, in Jesus' name. We remember that last week, the topic we treated in our lesson was miracle. We learned that generally speaking, we can say a miracle is an extraordinary event which manifests divine intervention in human affairs. Both the Old and the New Testament are full of examples of divine interventions which are beyond human imagination and mortal powers, but can only be attributed to the supernatural working of God in human lives. We consider various examples both in the Old and the New Testament, which included but not limited to the creative power of God as demonstrated in Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3 and verse 24, where the Bible recorded that in the beginning, the heart was without form and void, but God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. He parted the Red Sea. He gave the Israelites manna from heaven in the wilderness. Daniel was saved in the lion's den. Naaman was healed of his leprosy. In the New Testament, it is recorded in Acts chapter 5, verse 2. It says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders done among the people." Lest we forget, we learn that the creature called man is a great miracle when we consider the connectivity of human's various organs and how they synchronize. We were warned to be wary of fake miracle workers. Our Bible passage for today's lesson is taken from Acts chapter 9, which I'll be reading from verse 39 to 40. It reads, "Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died. When they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And for as much as Lydia was near to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he should not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by, weeping and showing the coats and garment which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, 'Tabitha, arise.' And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." Our memory verse is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 22. Please let us read together. "Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as the Lord and not unto men. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men." Tabitha's story exemplifies workplace ministry. She used her business as a cloth merchant in Joppa to minister to the needs of others. So workplace ministry, also known as marketplace ministry, is about living out a ministry-focused life through everyday work in any vocation or profession or career we find ourselves, be it in business, government, education, healthcare. We must make evangelism a lifestyle. The essence is that we must influence our environment or workplace with the message of Christ, not just in words, but also by our actions or attitudes. Let us now go into the lesson outlines. We have two lesson outlines. Lesson outline one is titled A Mission Field. The first point to note here is that our God is omnipotent and omnipresent. He is with us in every location and sphere of life, including our workplace. The psalmist in Psalm 139, verse 7 to 11 says, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there." So, the opportunity of God's presence is to encourage us to face the challenges and take the opportunity offered by workplace, because God is at hand to provide guidance. Let us note the following points. Most, if not all of us, see our workplace as a means of or avenues of earning income. But indeed, our jobs are opportunities or avenues to worship and serve God. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 5 to 8, encourages us to serve our masters obediently, avoid our service, but do the will of God from our heart, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man does, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Second point, when we view work as worship, then the excellence of God and integrity manifests itself, even in the little or small task that we perform. We must be driven by the mindset that the jobs we do is not just for the purpose of bread and butter, but to exemplify the glory and the attributes of God. Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." We now go to part B of lesson outline one, which says, believers are called to make disciples in all areas of life, including their workplace. In other words, you are first a disciple, an evangelist, or a missionary in your workplace. In Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, our Lord Jesus Christ declares that all power in earth and in heaven has been given to him, and he commissioned the disciples to go into all nations and teach them, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He commissioned them to go to all nations. We have a list of other points to note in this part. Number one is that we are Christ's ambassadors and have the responsibility to bring the attributes of Christ, such as love, truth, and hope, to colleagues and clients. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 made it explicitly clear that now then we are ambassadors for Christ. The second point, workplace ministry is about putting into practice the word of God with authenticity and intentionality, and allowing our faith to shine through our actions and not by words alone. Part C of lesson outline one tells us that aligning our work with biblical values requires wisdom. Our Lord Jesus Christ told the apostles that "I am sending you out like a sheep among wolves, be gentle like a dove and wise like a serpent." Proverbs chapter 3 verse 13 also tells us that "he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." We must also note that integrating faith and work is a reflection of the connectivity between our spiritual lives and our professional roles in Christ. We must use our faith in Christ to enhance the values of our professional roles. We can also use workplace ministry to transform lives and the communities by addressing spiritual, emotional, and practical needs, just like Logos and the Good Samaritan. Another point is that Christ called us to influence others with wisdom, compassion, and hope. In Mark chapter 5, verse 13 to 18, Jesus Christ described believers as the salt of the world that must not lose its savor, and the light of the world that must shine, that others may see our good works and glorify God. Remember that song? This little life of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Number four, we are to follow the model of the early church, who shared resources, served others, and drew people to Christ through love and unity. As stated in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. There are other examples, such as the welfare departments of our various churches and many other Christian charities. You can also be part of it at your workplace. Lesson outline 2, the principles. For effective workplace ministry, believers must keep their faith through intentional action and Christ-like attributes. Here are some key principles to be observed. Principle number 1, setting goals that aligns with God's priorities ensures our work reflects His purpose. Believers must benchmark themselves by the commandments and directives of God. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established." It means we must surrender ourselves to the will of God and let Him shape our vision and guide our pursuit towards eternal impact. John 15:16 says, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring fruit." Principle number 2, intentionality. Sharing the gospel requires purposeful action, whether through conversation or living out Christ-like virtue. 1 Peter chapter 15 enjoins us to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us a reason of the hope that is in us with meekness and fear. Therefore, intentionality helps us reflect God's love naturally in everyday interactions. Principle number 3, connection. Building meaningful workplace relationships creates opportunities for positive impress. We can read Proverbs 27, verse 9 to 10. So, by fostering trust, offering support, and celebrating others, we open doors to share authentic faith. Principle number 4, integrity. Upholding honesty, fairness, and transparency in all dealings demonstrates Christ's character and builds credibility. Proverbs 10 verse 9 says, "He that walketh uprightly walketh surely, but he that perverteth his ways shall be known." We can also read Proverbs 28 verse 18, which echoes the same message. Principle number 5, guidance. Seeking God's guidance through prayer, the word of God, and His wise counsel will ensure that our decision and ministry remain effective and agree or align with His will. Psalm 119 verse 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Proverbs 11:14 also reminded us that where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. That is the end of outline number 2. Let us look at our class activities. We have 2 class activities. Class activity 1 says, "How do you affect others positively in your workplace?" What comes to mind is, do you actually set goals and have visions of how to positively affect others in your workplace? If you do, are you getting or seeing positive results? Believers must act with intentionality and the right mindset. Second class activity, ask us, what are you willing to do differently to win more souls for Christ through your workplace? For example, are you considering taking advantage of modern day technology to reach out? We have examples of people hanging pictures on mosaic at their workplace with underlying message of salvation. So be creative. In conclusion, believers should approach the workplace with a sense of mission and use their unique gifts to glorify God and influence the workplace for His kingdom. Let us render the closing prayers together. Father, please give me the wisdom to win souls for you through my workplace. Amen. God bless you all for listening. In Jesus' name, amen.